Thank you. tell you, it's not going to be that day because the devil does it.
Right?
Because he's not going to do it for you. He doesn't want you to have a good day. No. And I could say this, it's not going to be that way because the Lord's going to do it, even though he is. But it's going to be that way when you take that land.
That's right.
Amen. When you decide, you know what, this day, these promises that belong to me, they're mine. And that's what we have to do. Because you know what, the devil's not going to let go of it. But you know what a prophet said, he's got greasy hands, right?
Yeah.
The devil's got greasy hands. You're going to have to just take it right out of his greasy hands, which means that the grace of God has made it to where you can possess those things and Satan can hold on to them. So we'll have a good day. And the Lord, it's been a push, it's been a fight all morning, all night last night. Brother Daniel had the same thing. So the devil just, I don't know what it is, but I'm totally helpless. But I know the grace of God is more than able. So we'll just open our Bibles, let the musicians go to their seats. And today, I don't know, I come up with, a minister will tell you when you get ready to have to put a title on the sermon, you just have a million and one different ones you might try to put on there and can't make up your mind. So I'm just going to call this today, Know Your Journey. And I think God wants us to know our journey. So we can begin reading at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Very familiar scripture. I think all of these are familiar to us today. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord, though, I can tell you that. Amen. Brother Daniel and I went to the meetings there in Bartlesville yesterday, just a men's breakfast and men's service for men. And the Lord really dropped down and it's one of those times of real refreshing. And, you know, it was a really high time for us in the Lord, and maybe that's why it seems like such a fight today. But the same God that was with us yesterday in those services is here today.
Yeah.
And you're His people. You're His responsibility. Amen. So we know that He will bless your heart this morning. By faith we know that. And so the scripture says, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Means He wants you to know what's coming. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Begin reading at verse 3. Paul speaking says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Let's pray about our hearts to Him. Lord, we do bow our hearts to You this morning. We are happy to call You our Lord. Not, Lord, just that we can just have salvation and have healing and receive benefits from You, Lord, but that You could be Lord of our lives. That our everything about us, Lord, that we would be surrendered to You, both our minds and our thinking, our entire day, Lord. God, that it would just be at Your service, that You could come to us, Lord, that You could bid us, move upon us by Thy Spirit in whatever way, and just woo us. And Lord, we would just follow You in whatever way You would want us to go. And so that's why this morning, Lord, we call You Lord, because we want to surrender You in that way, that You would be Lord of our lives. We ask, God, that You would come and speak to our hearts this morning. We know that the enemy has fought, but Lord, we proclaim You as the mighty conqueror. You've never lost a battle, You never will. And Lord, Your people are the beneficiaries of Your great character. And so, Lord, we ask this morning that you come to this people, that you speak to their hearts. That's why this place is here. This assembly is here. That's why this time has been sanctified. Lord, it's for them, that they might be able to be strengthened this day for their journey. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So we've titled this, Know Your Journey. How many knows we're all on a journey?
Amen.
All right? The journey, when you're talking about being on a journey, it means you start at one place and you wind up at another place. And you pass through a lot of places, maybe, and a lot of different things and conditions and what more. And it speaks of time, because it takes time to get from one spot to another spot. And so we are all on a journey. Sometimes we forget that, and we don't think about that, but we are on a journey. And it's just like any other journey. We were just traveling yesterday, and I really like using a GPS, those little GPS things you have on your dash or wherever you have it. You program in your destination and that sort of thing, and it just tells you how to get there along the way. When it comes time to make a turn, it tells you when to turn. But they're not perfect, because they're made by man. They're not perfect. Sometimes they'll tell you to turn places that they shouldn't. Sometimes they lose their navigation for a little while, and it shows you going off out through the field when you know you're going down the road. How many's ever seen that happen? And it's at times like that you have to ignore what that thing's telling you. But what I wanted to say on that is that I know my wife used GPS the other day when they went to Louisiana, and on the way back it just wanted them to go way off somewhere crazy. I see the kids laughing about it. And so, you know, that's because it's a man-made device. And I think I told her this. I don't know. But that's not where this come from, this thought of knowing your journey, but I'm thinking back on it now, is that even though you use those things, it's good to know your journey. It's good to know your route, right?
Right.
It's good to know what you're supposed to be doing, just in case that thing throws you a curveball, so you will know when it's in error. Now, it's global GPS, means global positioning system, but I want to talk about God's GPS, God's positioning system this morning. And you don't have to worry about it being wrong. It's always right. But when it's a man-made device, well, you got to be prepared for it to throw you the curveball. And so all I really want to say about that is that you should know your journey. You should know the path that you're going to take. And I do like it, because when you make a wrong turn, eventually it'll get you back on track. It'll tell you turn here, turn there. Because you're in a strange city, you don't know if there's a corner down here or what. You don't know what you're coming to. And so you turn off somewhere you don't want to, and next thing you know, you would be lost, and you have fumbling and shuffling for maps or trying to look at road signs, and sometimes it might put you down in a part of the city you don't want to be in. And so, you know, it's good to have those things, but still yet they throw you a curveball. And so this morning, in talking about knowing your journey, I believe God wants us to know our journey. I think he wants us to know all about our life here. And you know, I'll talk about it a little bit more, and you'll understand a little bit more where I'm coming from this. But I believe he wants us to know what, as we read the scriptures there, he wants us to expect. There's a certain end, a certain destination that he has for us. He told Israel there in Jeremiah, they had false prophets prophesying to them, telling them all kinds of things. And the Lord said, you know what, I didn't send them. I didn't send those false prophets. They're telling you a lie. But he said, thus saith the Lord. Because if you look at that time, Israel was getting a spanking. They were being carried away into Babylon. They were in trouble because they didn't obey God, and they had a spanking coming. But how many knows the scripture says that after you receive that correction, it brings forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness, right? That's right. So no correction at the time seems to be joyous. I had to get after one of my children recently, and I know they don't feel good about it, but I was thinking, you'll feel better afterwards, because I'm giving instruction that you need. And I know a child doesn't know that. If they don't have someone to bring them in forth in the things, then they're going to have a terrible life. But they need to be taught, and that's sometimes it means correction. And so it's not joyful at the time. And Israel was getting a spanking. And they had all kinds of false prophets trying to tell them this and tell them that. And basically the Lord said, look, you're going to have your spanking.
Yeah, right.
But I want to tell you that that's a sign of my love.
Amen.
So he says, for thus saith the Lord, after 70 years, they carried away into Babylon, 70 years, after 70 years, I will visit you and I'll bring to pass these things that I have told and spoke to you because I know my thoughts that I have concerning you. And you may think while you're going through a whipping right now that I'm just casting you away forever or whatever it may mean. Or you may have false prophets telling you that this is only going to last just a little bit. But I'm going to tell you, my correction will have its place in you. It'll run its course in you because I'm going to make sure that it gets the end product done, the correction that needs to be there. Because I love you and I know my thoughts concerning you, that they are good thoughts, not evil. They're not evil thoughts. They are good thoughts. And I'm bringing you to a place. And furthermore, I want you to know what that place is so you can expect. You know what to expect, what to come. And so that's what he was telling them. And so I believe the Lord wants us to know a whole lot about our journey. He wants us to know where we're headed. And so I'm going to use my phone to read some quotes first time I've ever done this, so you bear with me. But I think it'll work out okay. Brother Bram said, in this sermon called Be Not Afraid, It Is I. He said there's something about that when people always want to look and pass the curtain, where they come from, who they are, and where they're going. And he said there's only one book that of all of our writings that we have that will tell us that. And that's the Bible. It tells us where we come from, who we are, and where we're going. I mean, believe that.
Amen.
There's one book that we have that will tell us that, and that's the Bible. So the Bible will tell us where we come from. Sounds like a journey to me. Where we come from, who we are, what we're here for right now, where we're at presently, and it'll tell us where we're going. So the Bible is the only book that can tell us about our journey. It's the only one that can tell us. And if that's the case, if the Bible is that, it's the only book that can tell us that, and it is, then you know what that means? That means that the believer is the only person that understands truly what this is all about. The believer is the only one. I'm not talking about a make-believer. I'm talking about true believers. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about people who are truly believers and sold out to God, being led of God, taught of God. You know, the scriptures, Jesus referred back to it. He referred back and he said, and they shall all be taught of God. Well, you know, not everybody, but all of God's children are taught of God. Not every person on the face of the earth is taught of God, but all of his children are taught. And that's when that teacher comes and lives in you, the Holy Ghost, to lead you and guide you into the truth. And thy word, the word, is truth.
Amen.
And so he wants us to know this journey. And the Bible is the only book that can tell us that. So now if we're on a trip, I've mentioned this many times before, if you're on a trip and you're going from here to family camp in Lima, Ohio, you lay out a travel plan, you have maps, you have a GPS, whatever it is. And as you're traveling, I like to do this. I know my wife and I were talking about the other day, when you get into an airplane and you've got a pilot that's flying, you've got a navigator, a guy that takes care of telling you where you're at because you got controls and you are moving on and you ain't got time to look around and go, you know, wonder if I just passed my spot or not. You got to have somebody that's helping you. And so I like to do this when we travel. I take a big responsibility of myself when my wife is driving to watch the GPS, watch the road maps, and sometimes we still make mistakes. But what I'm getting to is that when you're on this journey, you should know that you should know what your map says. You should know what this says, and you should know that when you pass this city, this town, you should come to another town called this, and you know you're going to have a junction here, And as this is unfolding and you look out ahead of you, you see the signs telling you that's agreeing with what the map says. And when you see the signs in front of you saying the same thing the map says, or the journey the charts show, you know you're right on track.
Right.
And you know what? You don't have any fear whatsoever. How many has ever been lost in a big city somewhere down where you knew you shouldn't have been? Right? Not too comfortable, is it? You start locking doors and everything else, but you know, and because it's not comfortable. But when you're going down through there, and even if you're going through a city, and even if it's not a good part of town, but you know you have to go through that because the book, the map, the journey says you're going through there, and you know that's the next point, and you're like, okay, here we go. And now you're coming into that part of town, and you see the signs, but there's no alarm to you. Because what you see taking place is exactly what it said it would be according to the book, according to the map.
Yeah.
So you don't worry about it. And so God wants us to know our journey. He wants to know what's happening. And obviously, He wants us to know where we've been. But He don't want us to forget where we've come from. And He wants us to know where we are. He wants us to know where we're going, how we're going to get there. He wants us to know our journey. And we're the only people that can know this life journey. There's nobody else. Only the believer of the Bible. Only the student of the Bible. Only the one who's taught of the Bible can know this. And I don't mean taught letter, but I'm talking about reading between the lines. The Bible is a love letter. We were talking in service, our Bible study Wednesday night, and the question came up about Bible proof, Bible scriptures to prove that Lucifer and the devil are one and the self same being. And you know, if you're looking for an actual scripture week and it says right here, Lucifer and the devil are the same, you won't find it. You won't find it. But the Bible is a love letter. And I gave the example. I took a piece of paper and I put four marks on it. And I held it up to everybody. I said, what do you see here? Well, they say, see four marks. And I will tell you that I could allege that what's on this piece of paper is that 2 + 2 = 4. There's four marks on there. 2 + 2 = 4. And somebody say, it doesn't say that, but it does say that. Mm-hmm. Right? Because 2 + 2 = 4. And that's maybe a crude way of looking at it. So the Bible, we know it's a love letter. It's a book that is written to us from the Lord Jesus Christ, and only His beloved bride can truly read and understand what's between those lines and what's really being said. Yeah. And when everybody else looks at that and says, I see four marks here, we look beyond that and say, yeah, but I see something else. I see some concepts here. 3 + 1 = 4. 2 + 2 = 4. Right? So we understand that. And so, but the only way that a person will be able to catch connect into reading between that line is to be part of this gospel, to be that bride, to be part of the very word that we're talking about. And so he wants us to know this journey, the people of the Bible that read the Bible, or students of the Bible, that the Holy Spirit's leading their lives, the only ones that are going to truly understand this journey. And so, and why we're here. So now, if the Bible is the only book that can tell us where we come from, If we know where we come from, there's a lot of things you could say, but if we know where we come from, then we know our pedigree. We know where we come from. We know who our father is.
Right.
We know what the family traits are, what the characteristics of the family is, right? Because we know where we come from.
Yep.
Brother Brown talked about that hybrid. The mule, I believe, is what they call it. I always get that mixed up. But he's a real good worker, but he don't have much sense. I mean, he's hybrid. There's no life. You can't bring forth life out of him. But he talked about a thoroughbred horse. A thoroughbred, one that they know his pedigree. They know who his father was and the father before that. They know who his mother was and his mother, and that they were purebred all along the way. And they go way back, and they've got papers to prove it. Tracking it, going all the way back, because They know that when you can, you have papers on this horse or on this dog or whatever it is that shows who his parent and his lineage was, and it showed that it was pure all the way back. That makes that a valuable horse.
Yeah.
What about a people?
Amen.
A people who has a pure pedigree of where they come from, who their parent was, and what is it that's coursing through their spiritual veins. It would make them pretty, and you realize that man is made in the image of God, and everything that develops down here, God turns around and uses these things as training tools to us, and he knew that a purebred horse would be valuable to us, so he can turn around and display that same kind of thing in scriptures, or he could speak to you about, he knows that we get hungry and how we would long for something to eat. Well, then he'd turn around and display how that he could be that bread of life. He does those things. And so we'll know our family traits. We'll know what the family of God is like and what kind of characteristics they have if we're children of God. And so we'll know where we come from. If we know where we come from, then we know who our parents was. We know all about that. We don't have to worry about it. And I'll tell you something, and I think I heard Brother Harold Beckett say this one time, and real simple thought, but he said, if you know your origin, then you know your destination.
Yeah, right.
That's right. If you know where you come from, remember, the Bible is the only book going to tell you this. But if you know where you come from, then you certainly can know exactly where you're going, because you're tapping into the understanding of the pedigree or of the lineage of the family of God. And so we tap into that. So if we know where we come from and we know our ancestry, then it reveals light upon why we're here. Who are we while we're here? So it's just the next step in line as that journey from the beginning to the end, whether it be humanity or whether it be your walk from birth, from the cradle to the grave or to rapture. This is all talking about the same process to know where we come from, why we're here, and where we're going. And so the Bible will show us where we come from. Then if we know where we come from, we know who our Father is, then we all obviously would know why we're here and what we're to be doing while we're here. We'll know the characteristics of the family, and we'll know that characteristic is in us. In other words, we will see in our life the same thing we see recorded in this Bible. We'll see the Holy Spirit dealing with us with the truth of the hour like he dealt with every person with the truth of the hour in their day.
Amen.
And we will see the promises of the Scripture that what he said would come to pass in our day. We'll see that happening in our day. We'll see the Lord dealing with our hearts, making us a different people. It's not something we have to manufacture.
Right.
We all have days where we're up and we're down. But God is wanting us to come to the understanding that whether we're up or whether we're down, we are still his family, and
Amen.
He's the one doing this.
Right. Amen.
And he takes us on, and there'll be some days when you feel Lord in the snake's belly, and God will come along out of grace and pick you up, and you wonder why he did it.
Yeah.
Because it certainly wasn't your attitude or my attitude, or our efforts even.
Right.
But he'll come along and he'll pick us up, and it just makes me melt. It makes me cry. Why would he do that to me? But it's his mercy and his grace. And so we'll find out that he will be doing with us exactly what he did in the Bible. In other words, the roadmap says he would do this, and we find that he's doing it. We see it happening. Exactly what he said in the Scripture. So we know who we are. We know where we come from. We know why we're here. We know what we're supposed to be doing here. We're supposed to be doing what the Father's will is.
Amen.
Right? And the Father's will is to go out there, and that all those that are lost, all those that need to be brought back, would be brought back. And that's the Father's will. And so we know why we're here. And why? And since we know where we come from and who our parents are, our Father is, and we know why we're here, then we also know the authority given to us.
Right.
Right? We know the authority given to us while we're here. Now, I know you're probably saying, well, Brother Tony, I don't walk with this, reality of, no, I know we don't, but we're going to.
Right.
Because it's for us.
Yeah.
And that's what he said we would have. So we know the authority that we have. You know, Brother Graham says, we don't have power. We don't have power.
Right.
But we have authority.
We
have authority because we are the believers. We are in the family of God, and He has sent us here to do a work, and that's why we have authority. And so because we know where we come from, and we know why we're here, we know what authority we have, we know exactly what to expect to happen, the results to see in our day. And if we know why, where we come from and why we're here, then we certainly will know where we're going. And if we know where we're going, we won't have to worry about how we get there. We can just commit our whole life to the plan that's laid before us. I don't have to worry about it when we're on a trip, about, well, I wonder. No, I know exactly how we're going to get there. I know the pathway because the map has told me the pathway. I know exactly how long it's going to take because the map tells me how long it's going to take. And I realize in reality you might have a roadblock there, you know, a detour or whatever, but I'm talking about the Word of God. We don't circumvent the Word of God. He'll do it just the way He said. And so, when God says something, He means it. He's not petty. He's not like us. He doesn't sit around and have 50% of His conversation is really don't mean nothing. It's just a bunch of chit-chat. God's not like that. When God says it, that's exactly what He means. It's like Brother Forrest Farmer said. He said, he's heard the testimony that if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. He said, I'm sorry. He said, if God says it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. And that's right. But I'll tell you what, if you don't believe it, it can cut you out of the blessing of it.
Yeah, right.
So God settled it, and it's going to come to pass, and we might as well just latch on to the roadmap and just go with it. And so that's what happens. We'll cut ourselves out of the benefits of the things. If He sends something our way, it's just like the Scriptures tell us that here when it's speaking about the bringing forth the capstone, we're shouting, crying, grace, grace.
Yeah.
You know why double grace? Because we need it.
Amen.
That would show you right there that in this hour that the work of Satan would get so strong and so powerful that if God didn't give double grace, then we probably wouldn't be able to make it through it very well. And so He sends forth double grace to us because we need double grace. So when God says something, He means it. He means it exactly what he says. When he says in the Bible that He would stone harlots, and you find out He comes over at the end and hailstones come out of heaven, He means what He says. And so it's not up to us to try and figure it out or whatever, because He'll bring it to pass. He'll vindicate it and make it clear by bringing it to pass. And that's, we just have to believe it and go with it. Brother Daniel probably could tell you, Brother Tim, there's many times that you don't really know exactly what God's doing.
Right.
But you go with it.
Right.
And then when it's after it's over with, you look back and you see, you know what, this was the hand of God.
Yeah.
And listen, I mentioned it many times before, but God... all the seven compound redemptive names of Jehovah is attributed to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so Brother Graham said, the tender hand of Jehovah brought the children of Israel, the Jews, back to the promised land using the Holocaust as the whip. And it was the tender hand of Jehovah. And so I said this the other day, you know, if we're out of the way of God's word, if we're in error, what would God resort to get us back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? He's not just going to resort to the preacher telling you 10 or 12 times.
Yeah.
Or you reading it in Scriptures 10 or 12 times. He won't stop there if you're His child. If you're His child, if He has to bring a Hitler in your life in order to get those results, He'll have to.
That's,
see?
Right.
But it's just like with Jeremiah. He had to have that carrying away into Babylon. He had to allow that king of Babylon and the armies to come there and bring that correction upon Israel and take them down there to get the right kind of repentance in their heart that they needed and so forth. He had to allow that, and we can stand back and look at all of the harsh things that we know took place when they come in there and took them people by force and took them back to Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And we could look at that and say, that's terrible. There's no God. There's no God that would let people sit over here, the children, and all the mommies and the things that happen that you read about in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. You know, that like that Lutheran guy or whoever it was, I forget which one it was, and he said, well, what kind of God would sit with his hands folded across his tummy and say those and let those things happen? And Brother Ram, when he was referring to that, he said, see, you know, the carnal mind can't catch this. It's a revelation. That seed had to fall in the ground and die. And so it's the same thing. We would look at Israel and say, that's terrible. But that was the tender hand of Jehovah, because God cannot bring to pass what he really wanted to with Israel until he got that correction done.
That's right.
And so it's the same way. He'll do the same way. If he's got things he wants for you, he might have to correct it. That's why it's good to listen to the word first.
Yeah.
It's good to hearken to, read the scriptures and hearken to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. It's better to do that than to resist. Because you're not going to win, and you don't want to win. Because if you know, most of the time, if we win, we wind up out here without Christ in a grave.
That's right.
We don't want to win. We want him to win. But we want to surrender to him and to his way, lest he have to go find a Hitler or a Mussolini or somebody and to bring something like that upon us. And so he wants us to understand this process. We are his people. He don't want us to question that whatsoever. He wants us to know where we come from, why we're here, where we're going. And we don't have to worry about how we're going to get there. We just commit ourselves to the program. You've heard me say this many times, that if you're just so walking in the presence of God, you wouldn't care if a Mack truck hit you. Mm-hmm. You've heard me say something like that before. You wouldn't. And if when you're walking and you're close to God and you're, you know, if the Lord came and said, today I want to take you home, thank you, Lord. But if he said, no, I want you to be here another 20 years, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Once we know who we are and we know that we cannot be defeated, not us, but his grace in us,
yeah, right,
cannot be defeated, what difference does it make how long we're going to be here, whether we're going to live in a mansion or a shack, and whether we're going to have plenty to eat or not to have plenty to eat? What difference does it make when you know who you are and where you're headed?
Amen.
That's why that African slave that Brother Ram tells about, that was his father over there in Africa, was king of a tribe, and he was here and in slavery. But he conducted himself like the son of a king, like a prince would conduct himself, even though he was in slavery, and they wanted to know why. What's the difference about this guy? He acts so much better than the rest of the slaves. And the slave buyers wanted to buy him, and the owner said, I'm not selling him. Why? Because he's valuable. A man that knows who he is, even though he may be down in the pits and in the dumps and whatever, but he knows who he is, that man is still valuable.
Amen.
And so the slave owner said, I'm not selling him. Well, what's different about him? Do you feed him different? No, he sleeps and feeds and everything just like a rest. Well, what's different? The owner said, I wanted to know myself. So I inquired and I found out that his dad over in where he come from is a king of a tribe, and he conducts himself as a kingly family, as a prince would. And so that's it's valuable to be that. And so God wants us to know all this, and regardless of what our journey, who cares whether we have great things or not great things, when we walk with God and we know who we are and we know where we're going, it doesn't matter. This world is so corrupt and so falling apart, and our own, even if it wasn't, this right here, this flesh,
yes,
is falling apart daily.
Amen.
And the time will come, you little ones, listen to this too. The time will come, if the Lord tarries, that your flesh will betray you.
Yep.
And you'll want to feel good and you don't feel good. Uh-huh. And you'll want to live for many more years and you won't be able to, because it is your enemy.
Right.
It's your enemy today, and you may not know it. I'm speaking to the older, everybody of all ages. It's our enemy. And the time will come, if you don't already realize that it is your enemy. And at some point, we've got to reach a place in our walk with God where there's a disconnect with this. First of all, that this no longer rules and reigns over us, and we follow the desires of it. That's first thing.
But at some point, we've got to come to a place where we're so connected with Christ Jesus that we don't care whether this thing comes or goes.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
That we'll be connected to Christ, and when this flesh lays down, we rejoice because we know what our reward is.
Hallelujah, man. Amen.
And that's what we have to come to. Every one of us. And if we die in this flesh, still connected to that flesh, we don't have peace coming at the end.
Right.
We've got to come to the place where this doesn't mean that much to us. Well, we would take care of it because it is the temple of God. You understand that? But we won't cater to it. We won't live by it. We won't live by the flesh, the desires of it. But we will live after the kingdom of heaven and tell this thing to be in obedience and make him live in such a way where he's an honor to the kingdom of heaven and not against it. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, you know, the children of Israel coming out and taking over some of the nations. Some of the nations he said, kill it all. Brother Daniel and I were talking about this the other day. Some of the nations and their habits of the way they lived, their personal lives, I'll just say it that way, caused them and their genes to be so bowed up and so interbred and to the place where God just said, there's nothing left there to work with. You see, that's what happens. People can, God has principles, and he puts things in place, and yeah, he can come back, and he can come down to some of those nations that they were totally destroyed. He can come down to them and speak his word and change them all, and then they'll all have a clear, clean bloodline, and their minds will be clear of all the filth. He can do that, but that's not his principles. And so, a person, a people, and the genealogy and the races, they can get so fouled up that God says, okay, they've reached the point, there's nothing left for me to work with. And that's in his economy, just get them out of the way. Because there's nothing we can do with them that benefits the kingdom of heaven. I know that sounds harsh, but that's exactly what this generation's coming to.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
This modern generation, with all their filth, is coming to that place. And I, when Brother Daniel were talking about it, come to my mind, and Brother Bram said this, and it's right. God don't destroy man. Man destroys himself.
That's right.
Man will continually, every person, every nation, every peoples on the face of earth, unless they're believers, they will eventually work themselves and corrupt themselves into sin and debauchery into such a place until there's nothing left, and they go to their grave without Christ because there's nothing left. You know, there's nothing redeemable. They go all the way until it's too late.
Right.
And that's the way it is in the natural. Natural seeds get so perverted. And so, it's almost like a rabbit trail, but, you know, I feel like the Lord had me go that way for a reason, but he wants us to know where we're going, how we're going to get there, and it doesn't matter where we have this world's goods or whatever. We're just going to be rejoicing because we know who we are and where we're headed. We know why we're here. We know what we can get accomplished while we're here. And if we know these things about ourselves, we know these things about our God and our Savior, the family of God, and about ourselves, then we automatically know about our enemies.
Yeah.
Because our enemies is not what I just talked about with us. They're not inside this genealogy. And when I say enemies, the scripture said flesh and blood. I'm already quoting, and then it makes it sound like that Brother Ram is saying that people, but he's not talking about people, he's talking about principles there. That we have enemies, and we automatically, because of these things, we'll understand the nature of our enemy and what the counterpart to the whole thing is. The counterpart, what God's enemy is and who our enemy is today. And we'll know where our enemy come from. We'll know his pedigree, right? And we'll know by serpent seed. I'm saying all this because of this. I had a little subtitle on this, that which was, which is, and which is to come. Speaking of a journey. That which was God in heaven, and how all that happened and come here to earth, and where it goes from here. And I say all that because the Word of God tells us what all these things are, and that's what we want to believe and go with. But you get outside of the message, and you go to any other church other than that true gene of God that's on the earth right now and what's in them. And all these things, what I'm telling you is they'll pervert one somewhere along the way, whether it's what was, what is, or what shall be, they'll be off the word on it.
Yeah.
They will miss it. Because and so you find out that God, this is the book that tells us how, where we come from, why we're here, where we're going, and there's things about this they pervert, and when they pervert it, you will not know clearly where you come from. You will not know why you're really here, and you won't know exactly where you're going or how you're going to get there. And all it takes is one to mess that up. One doctrine to mess that up. And so they miss it somewhere. Somewhere along the way. And maybe we'll get to that in just a minute. But and so if we know these things, we know our enemy. Brother Branham had this in another sermon called Putting on the Whole Armor of God. He said, therefore, we know our enemy by his attack. We know him by his characteristic. We know what he's going to do. We know him by his attack. And he said, maybe you didn't get that just the way I said it. We know our enemy, and when anyone, any spirit, any person tries to disagree with the word of God, remember, that's your enemy. That's your enemy. We know his old attack. That's the way he broke the human race down, and that's the way he breaks them down yet today. And that's the way he gets you away from God, is to disbelieve the word. And the only way that you can ever stay in fellowship with God and take and talk to him in the cool of evening is to stay fortified in the word. And that's right. So let the curtain of God's word drop around you, and you be a drop right in the middle of it. That's right. And then you're fortified. So Brother Branham was speaking about the whole armor of God. And here he illustrates it as a great curtain that would come around and basically protect you, and you stay fortified behind there. And but in there he said that any person, any spirit, I forget the words he used, that would come along to you contrary, that's an enemy to you.
Yeah.
That's an enemy. And so when we read there, he said, we don't fight war against flesh and blood, but principalities and all those things in high places and what more. But he said there in that scripture, he said, now, we cast down imaginations. We cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge, the revelation, the what God would tell us. We bring all of that into captivity to Christ, right? Into the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so when I'm sitting here saying the Bible is the only book that tells you where you come from, why you're here, and where you're going, and all of that's knowledge, revelation knowledge is given to the believer, and Satan wants to attack that, whether it's the guy next door, or the denomination down the street, whatever, they want to attack that fortification of our knowledge of knowing who we are, why we're here, and where we're going, and how we're going to get there. They want to destroy all that. It's not so much the people when I say that, but the spirits behind that, that's the game plan, is to destroy the fortification of the word of the believer. And the scripture said we cast down everything that exalts itself against that. So when the Bible told us who our Father was, mm-hmm. who he is, any doctrine, any conversation, any person that wants to come to us and try and come against that, we want to cast down that thought, that enemy's approach to us, not let it have place, stay fortified in the Word, because we know from the Word, we know that our Father is God. We know that in the beginning, or before there was anything else, it was just Him. They'll make Him three. Well, then which one is your Father if He's three? Right? Which one is your Savior? Which one is living in you right now? They'll make him all kinds of things, but the Word says our Father is the only form of eternal life. Right? And the Word says he has offspring, and they would have that same gene in him. The world won't tell you that, but the Word tells you. Why? Because knowing that helps you know who you are. It helps you know where you come from. So they'll tell you that he's three gods or whatever. But the Word tells us who he is, that which was. It tells us who he is. It tells us who his subjects are. It tells us who his enemy is and who his enemy's subjects are. It tells us all about what happened and how it came to earth and what happened in the garden. They won't tell you what happened in the garden. But it's imperative that we know what happened in the garden. That way we fully understand why Jesus had to come virgin birth.
Yeah, right, yeah.
We have to know that. But they don't want you to know that. They want you to think that Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God, they want you to think that she was without sin when the Bible said she was. Did you know the Bible said she was? Back to what I said at the beginning, you won't find a scripture that said Mary was, you know, was a sinful person or whatever, even though we know the scripture says it all. Yeah, we're all sinners. But she rejoiced in God, her Savior. There's a scripture where she said that, I rejoice in God, my Savior. I think it says it that way. You can find it, and I'll look it up for you if you want. But they want you to believe that she was without sin. Mm-hmm. That she's on a lifted on a pedestal right beside that of Jesus Christ. You know what that is? The entire fall of man is the whole human race fell on this one thing, the exploitation of a woman. The entire churches in false doctrine is the exploitation of she, supposed to be the bride of Christ. Everything out there is the exploitation of a woman. They want to stick her in some place of worship. And if she's in the right place as a wife, would be, she is. She is highly esteemed of her husband. And so they want to take Mary and stick her up her because all those pagan gods and all those pagan religions back then, so many of them, and how that the woman was the goddess. And all those sort of things. And so they don't want to tell you anything, but the Word tells us how this happened, what happened in the garden, and how it got to where it is now. And so they don't want you to know that. So somewhere along the way, they're going to mess up and they're going to have all kinds of strange ideas about what we're here for. They won't know what your authority is. They won't know what the purpose is. And so you had all kinds of crusaders and people like that all through the ages call themselves Christians and will go out and kill people thinking they could do God's service. So they didn't know why they were here. They didn't really understand what their purpose on earth was. They were resorting to physical violence rather than spiritual warfare. That's what they were doing. And so He wants us to know that which was, that because that's where we come from. We know all about that. He wants us to know about who we are right now, what position we have in Christ, what authority we have, and He wants us to know where we're going.
Yeah.
And they'll mess up about where you're going too. Anybody ever talk to a Jehovah's Witness?
All right. Mm-hmm.
Some of the strange stuff. It's like, that come from Mars. It's the way it makes you feel. And I'm not making fun of it, but I'm telling you, God has a revelation, and it's right here in the Word, and it tells us all about our journey.
Amen.
And if we stay with this, we don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. I heard a sermon yesterday. We wonder about things and about people leaving the message and all that. I'll tell you what, I heard a sermon yesterday morning. It puts it all in perspective.
Amen.
Tells us exactly, it is exactly Word, why we are enduring the things we are enduring right now. It is Word. And all I can tell you, without just getting into that sermon, is that the very next step after this is body change. The very next step after this is God to take His wheat to the barn. And that's just all there is to it. So what am I saying by saying this? I'm saying that if we look down at the roadmap and say, why is there a separation going on? Because the Bible said it. The Bible spoke of a separation out in the field when the wheat was being harvested. But there's another separation that comes back here. It's at this threshing floor. And there's a separation that takes place there. And that's where it is. And so the Bible said that. We don't have to worry about it. We can look at this and we can say, you know what? That gives me confidence. That gives me confidence to know that just in a little while, He's going to summons us and we're going to leave this place. And we don't have to worry about it. I don't have to sit around and lay awake at night and say, how am I going to change my body when that time comes? I'm not going to do it, and neither are you. You don't have to worry about that.
No.
But all you have to do is stay focused upon this travel plan that we have right here, and watch that travel plan, and watch what's going on in your life, and you'll know. The Scripture tells us that we are not children of the night. That they that are asleep, they sleep in the night. They that are drunk, they're drunk in the night. This is in Thessalonians where it talks about the rapture. But the Scripture said, but you're not children of the night, that day would come upon you unawares. There is a people that day will come upon unawares. The coming of the Lord will absolutely overtake them in surprise. And there will be no hope for them. But the believer is children of light, and it is not coming upon them in a way where it just, they're astonished and they're, we know the hour, we know what to expect, because he has revealed his thoughts concerning us that we may have an expected end. So I expect that God will change it. I expect the same Holy Spirit that deals with me and caused me to quit sinning in the first place and causes me to be different now than I was before, I expect him, the same voice that speaks to me, that's the voice of resurrection. I expect that same voice to be able to speak to me someday and change me.
Yeah.
He'll speak to you at the same time and change you. We put all our confidence in that. I don't believe God wants us to fret. I believe he wants us to enjoy our journey. I know we'll see a lot of hideous things along the way. Brother Daniel's telling about being on a trip and actually heard the gunshot and looked and saw men fall. Isn't that right, brother?
Yeah.
There's a lot of hideous things we'll see. I'm talking about down in Honduras or wherever it was, probably on another trip. But the point I'm getting at is we might see all kinds of harsh things, but God wants us to enjoy the journey. And even though there's a lot of rough things, we use what position God has given us to influence this world while we can.
Amen. Yeah.
But enjoy life's journey. Sure, when you get up tomorrow morning, just know that Satan's going to throw things at you.
Amen.
But know your authority.
Amen.
And know that you have to stand back and say, you sly devil, when are you ever going to learn? When are you ever going to learn that God beat you long ago and I am his subject? I'm his child. And I'm in connection with him, and I surrender to him. And so you get out of the way. You can't hold me. And, you know, we go through battles. Sometimes it takes days, months. Maybe you might even have something took years. I don't know. But you're still the victor. You're still victorious. And so God wants us to know these things, that which was, which is, and which is to come, because that tells us where we come from, why we're here, and where we're going. I get close to ending here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, did I give that to you? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You are ambassadors for Christ. I'm bringing this all down because, you know, future's wonderful and all that. We want to know the whole plan. But I want you to be effective now. And you need to be, just like Brother Daniel was saying, we want to go out there and touch lives. We want to witness. We want to be salt. You are the salt of the earth. And if you go through this next week and you don't say something to somebody about the Lord, you're not salty.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And if you say, well, I don't have that in me to do it, then pray. Because you're dull right now. I won't say it's not an indication maybe that you're not a Christian, but what I'm saying is we get, Satan wants us to get so wrapped up in our journey and in what we're facing right now that we don't become effective. We don't touch lives. And we're all bent out of shape about what we're going through. But even through hard times, we can enjoy our journey. And so, Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. How many believe that? We aren't just some patched up something, as Brother Branham said. We are a new creature. And old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what it means to be reconciled? Let's go to the next one. Here's what it means. Paul says, to wit. In other words, what he's saying, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. We know that's what happened. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. So he's given us the words to go out and tell the world you can be reconciled, because God was in Christ reconciling the world and getting committed us to that to us that sermon, that word, to go tell the world you can be reconciled to Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled. So Paul's sitting there saying, look, Christ sent me in his place, and I'm standing there in his stead, just as though he was here saying, be ye reconciled. And that's what you want to go out and tell the world. They can be reconciled. Will they come to know the full revelation? I don't know. Maybe some of them will. But you know, there will be people saved out there in some of those other systems because they have a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's up to God what he does. I do believe he'll bring them into truth of the message if there's much time, but you understand what I'm saying. There's going to be people all up and down the side of that mountain. But the bride's on top of the mountain. Now for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. And so he has made us ambassadors. We are sitting here on this earth. Where do we come from? We come from heaven. Jesus said, I come from there and I'm going back there. Did you know he come along and he also told the disciples, he said, you know the way. You're not from this world. The world's not going to love you because you're not from here, but you know the way that I'm going and they're going. We know the way. What are you talking about? We know the way. We do know the way. Right? The life of God in us knows that way. He will take us. He will take us on that journey. And so it's through a daily process. But he has made us, sent us here to be ambassadors for his kingdom. And really, you know what? We're not out here trying to convert the whole world. We're out here trying to find those last seeds. But you know what? You've got to cast that out there to all of them to find those last seeds. You have to cast that net out there to all of them. And you speak it like every person you run into could be saved.
Amen.
You tell it to them like every person out there that can be saved. And then what's in them will make that decision whether or not they can or not. See, because that life, if it's in them, will respond to it. So we are ambassadors for Christ. And the last scripture I want to go to is I want to say this. It's at Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Real familiar scripture. She'll put that up there. For unto us a child is born. We know this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counsel, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Don't go yet. The government shall be upon his shoulders. He's the head. We're the body. Where's the shoulders? The shoulders is in the body. It's part of the body. It's not part of the head. The government. Now go to the next verse. And of the increase of his government, which is in the body, the increase of that government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, henceforth, forever, and even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so you see, Jesus Christ, he's the Son that was given, but the government is upon his shoulders, and his shoulders is the body. He's governing, ruling, reigning, will govern, rule, and reign with you. It's him doing it. He's the master behind it. He's the great Holy Spirit behind it, but he's living in you, and that responsibility of rulership and putting things right and in their place and making this kingdom that has come to flourish and the peace of this kingdom to go forth and to never end and to keep growing and growing and never come to an end, that responsibility he's given to you and I, him in us, bringing that to pass. Mm-hmm. That's right. How many believe that? Is there anybody, if you don't believe it, raise your hand. Well, I'm glad to see that nobody raised their hand. Because that's what I'm talking about. God has so arranged this thing that we would know who we are and where we're headed and why we're here. And we would know it in such a way that we would understand that his program doesn't move without us. You ever wonder why time stood still You ever wonder why he said, time shall be no more? There's a lot of things we could say about that. But Brother Branham did say this, that Christ is waiting on one thing, and that's the readiness of his bride. Right? The readiness. How many know who said that? The readiness of his bride, for her to finally recognize who she is. And when that happens, you're going to see some fire fly.
Yeah.
You're going to see something take place at that point. Because she's the government. She's the final voice for the final age under her messenger. Right? Because she'll be speaking what he said. But she, what is that saying? She'll come to that full realization of exactly who she is. That Christ and the bride, the ministry of Christ and the ministry of the bride are one and the same. That's a quote. The ministry of Christ, the ministry of the bride are one and the same because they are one. It's kind of strange. I heard this illustration and it's good to think about this. And when Jesus was here, he had a forerunner. And the forerunner was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had a voice of his own. He had arms and legs. He could shout. He had an expression of his own. And he was the forerunner. And then Christ came along and Christ had his voice. And he had his expression. And he could walk and talk and do those things. And he was the one that John was forerunning. And that's the way it was 2,000 years ago. But in our day, the voice that was used by the forerunner is the same voice that was being used to speak to his bride. The same image that was standing on the platform expressing it was the same image that was being used to express it. See? God can do what he wants. That's not making Brother Branham Christ.
No.
But we say a voice within a voice. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ speaking the message that's between the lines coming out of the voice of a man from Kentucky. And we realize there's a voice coming to me out of that voice. And we realize that what we see, the Son of Man, is being represented out of a Son of Man. And that that came from William Branham, not great William Branham, but that which came from him, that voice, that revelation of the Son of Man, that's our bridegroom. That's the revealed word of the hour. That's who we're one with. And that's why the government of this program is upon us. And I'm saying all this, saints, because we have needs among us, and the world needs a Christ.
Amen.
And I'm saying that because we do have the authority. God will answer our prayers.
Amen.
He will do it. We just have to get all this revelation contained and lined up, I guess, and it's not something we do, just something. But what am I saying? To fall in love with Him and know this journey. Know why you're here. And who you are. And you are Miss Jesus Christ. And so He will answer your prayers. And I realize maybe someone's got something going on and maybe it's a whipping. Maybe they got to go through a little something. And we might try to go up there and pray for them. Maybe nothing happened at the moment. I'm not. God will answer prayers. If we'll be sincere with Him, very sincere with Him, and do our best to follow His word in our daily life, and what consecrated to Him. When we approach a situation and we pray for people, whatever, God will, He will either answer it or tell us why He can't.
Yeah.
That's what Brother Branham said. I've never prayed a prayer but what God answered it or told me why He couldn't answer it. How many know Brother Branham said that?
Yeah.
That's right. Why? Because if we are, if we are that kind of relationship with Him, would He hold it back from us? No. He'll tell us everything He's going to do. He did it for Abraham. Shall I hide from Abraham? No, you're not going to hide nothing from the elect of God because they're part of it. They're part of the program. And He will not hide anything from you right now. He wants you to know, but He'll speak it from His word.
Yeah.
And it'll be vindicated. It'll be truth. It won't be some far off left field or right field and some person rising up to try and get glory to themselves. It'll always be pointing back to that vindicated one that come to us in this hour that's the word manifest. It'll be that. And so, I'm trying to get this one last thing to say this. When you are living and you know you're doing, you're surrendering, you're endeavoring to surrender your life to God, and you know that God speaks to you and you're walking with Him and you're fellowshipping with Him. Then when you go along, and you know your daily life is like that, when you go along and all of a sudden you see a person or a situation and you think, you know, well, I ought to do this and I ought to go and you know, say this or do that or present this or present that. And, you know, what you're thinking is going and trying to bring redemption into that situation. When you think that, I'm going to tell you that that's Christ thinking it. Because Christ come down and used Brother Branham's gray matter and used Brother Branham's vocal cords to express God to this age. And God wants to do the same thing with you. He wants to come down and He wants to actually think with your gray matter. I want you to understand that. Because God does not change certain things about you. He does change your sinful nature. He does take away the desire of sins like that. It's still in your flesh, but He takes it out of your heart. And all that sort of thing. But certain people have certain temperaments. Some people are quiet. Some people are loud and expressive. And some people are excited all the time. And some people are a little timid. God don't change a lot of those things with people. Sometimes He does. But what am I saying? He leaves you as you are. Because why? He, the Holy Ghost, wants to come down and live in that timid person.
Amen.
He wants to come down and live in that loud, excited, boastful person or whatever. He wants to do that.
Right.
And if there's something about that person that the new birth needs to change, it will change. But if it's not, and that you go along and that person goes along and they see a situation that speaks to them, and they go, well, I'm just going to go. And sometimes, most of the time, I want to tell you, or a lot of times, you'll think it's just you. Well, I'm just thinking that, hush. You know, that ain't me. That, you know, I better not do that. I want you to know that you go try it.
Amen.
That when God puts His word on a person's heart and they speak that, they speak and go forth and do that, whatever, that's deity speaking.
Yeah.
That's what a prophet told us. So what am I saying when I get to this place, where we come from, where we're going, and knowing our journey is to bring it right to where we are right now, and for you to know that if God can't live through you right now, then He don't have nobody to live through. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking to the bride of Christ. Because there's one people on the face of the earth that He has elevated to that place. He has elevated to that place. That He comes down and actually inhabits their thinking. When they lay on their bed at night, it's Him laying there pondering the things of the day. Right? You say, well, how do I know it's God and not the devil? Does it agree with His word? Right? Does it agree with His word? That's why it's so important to know His word. Does it agree? And as long as you walk with the Lord and you entertain fellowship with Him and you don't offend Him, even if it takes Him 3 or 4 times to tell you till you understand it's Him, He'll do it. As long as my wife and I are in good mood with one another, we're just going and you know, she might have to tell me something 4 or 5 times, but as long as we're fellowshipping, all that's not a problem. It's when it gets, you know, whenever I'm really out of tune with her or vice versa or something like that. And then there's problems. You don't understand what I'm saying. Walk with God. Realize that He wants to speak to this generation through you.
Amen.
And when those things come along and you think it's just your fault, won't you try it one time and see? You go and do it and see if it ain't God. Because He wants to use your gray matter and He wants to speak through your voice, think with your thoughts. He wants to touch with your hands. He wants to love with your heart. He wants to reach out to this generation once again. But He wants to use you to do it. And I wish I could tell you that it won't be rejected. But it will be.
Right.
Most of the time it'll be rejected. But there's always got to be death for life to come. There's always got to be somebody that bears a burden. Somebody that's a sacrifice. Somebody that's having to give. That others who are weak can be made strong. It always has to be that way. And saints, there will always be a price to pay. There will always be a price to pay. My prayer is that these things, the little points like that right there, to remember, there will always be a price. When we get up tomorrow, we want God in our life, there's a price we will have to pay in order for that to be that way. Because you will be confronted with a choice. And the decision of the choice will determine whether or not Christ is truly put on display for the rest of the day, or if it's not the rest of the day. You understand? That's the nature of the battle. And so, the government is upon His shoulders, and His shoulders is in this room today.
Yeah.
been speaking to.
Let me believe that.
And he wants us to know that and to be very understanding. Because Brother Graham said, when the bride knows who she is, you know, then the rapture will go. He didn't say it come, it will go, because it's here. It's a cycle. It's a life that's here. That Christ has come. I heard Brother Claude tell this yesterday, that Jesus, when he was going to go up to the feast day, the great day, the feast of the last feast of the series, and he said, his disciples, he told him, he said, no, I'm not going up. You're going up. How many members of the scriptures? You're going up. But then it said Jesus went up a little bit later, secretly. And so, and all that points to the fact that Christ has come now, secretly. Because we're in the seventh age. This was the seventh feast. We're in the seventh age. Christ has come secretly. He's here. And when he goes, he takes himself. And when she realizes who she is, that she's him. That's basically what he's saying. That she is him. Then he, the rapture, will go. Because the rapture is a person. It may be an event. We think of it as an event. But it is a person. The person of eternal life. Amen. God bless you. Musicians come. I trust that today's words of encouragement will be a help for you. I know you fight battles. I know that there are great battles being fought. Amen. I want to just encourage you that God is, he said he'd never leave us or forsake us. Right?
Yeah.
Never will. It might be our feelings sometimes that make us think that, but he said he'd never do it. And the scriptures tell us that we could even go and make our bed in hell or whatever. I forget how it says it, but he'll be there for the believer. I don't care what you do. You might run and ruin your life and it become a pure hell on earth to you, and that voice of God will still be speaking to you to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? See, and when we walk away from him, that's what happens. But if anybody here has walked away from the Lord in that manner, all you got to do is just come back.
That's right.
That's all it is. God's not petty. Come back. He's not going to say, well, I forgave you seven times, but I can't forgive you the eighth. That's not what it is. The blood of Jesus Christ is stronger than that. Mm-hmm. There's no limit to it. See, there's nothing you can do to get away from it. If God is speaking and dealing with your heart, you can come. There's nothing to hinder that, except just Satan trying to tell you that God won't accept you. And that's the way the grace of God is. Because God has poured out into his bride that kind of grace. That kind of measure. And if we want to know whether we're arriving or not, how much love do you have for somebody? How much grace do you have for others when they fall short? And when you know that you can have the grace of God in your heart toward others when they fall short, regardless, then you know you're getting a lot closer. Because that's exactly the nature of our God. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Heavenly Father, how true, how blessed your word is, Lord, for us to be able to sit and speak this morning and to sit in heavenly places, to hear what you have said in your word. Lord, to put in perspective this hour that we live in, Lord, what it means to us, Lord. It's a desire in my heart, Lord, that regardless of what is said and preached, whatever, Lord, if it can't be brought down and to a place where we can see how it matters to us today, how we can use it in our battle. Lord, then it's not that effective. But Lord, you have promised in your word, Lord, that you would come in this hour and you'd bring forth the message that would bring us to a complete liberty, not just in our daily walk, but Lord, even change our bodies. And I believe that, Lord. I know these people here, they believe that. And Lord, we're pressing each day these battles. I know, Lord, that even the ones I fight, Lord, they come in waves and cycles and very, very few moments of rest. But Lord, in all that, sometimes being discouraged, and I know your people everywhere, they just have times of discouragement, Lord. But Lord, you are showing us that that's the hour that we live in. And that's just the true mark of a believer, that Satan is coming wave after wave against us. Lord, I just want to encourage people here, Lord, your sheep, that they would look at these things and realize, Lord, that you did promise you'd never leave them, you never would forsake them. God, that all of their enemies would fall at their feet. And so, Lord, we encourage ourselves like David. We encourage ourselves in the Lord today to believe and to sing praises to your holy name and to thank you for all that you've done, Lord. That even in hours where we may not understand what's going on, we still know that you are sitting on the throne, Lord. That we are your people. And God, you have something that you're working through us. But today, Lord, we rejoice in this day, the day of salvation. We accept your provision. We accept your voice to call us back wherever we've fallen from, wherever we fall short from, Lord. We accept that this moment right now. And God, we repent. Whatever it is that we've done that has separated us in fellowship from you, we repent of that because, Lord, we know it has to be that we repent of it and say, I'm sorry. I don't want to do that, Lord. I want to stay in close fellowship with you. And Lord, we accept your provisions of grace back into perfect fellowship with you this day. And Lord, as we go forth rejoicing and singing, let us just remember, Lord, these things that have been spoken today, that there is a price. And Lord, we're willing to pay that price if you'll be the one that's on display. You promised you would, so we accept it. We ask these things this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's all stand and worship the Lord just for a few moments. If you had anything that the Lord has spoke to you today, you thank him for that. You rejoice in what has been spoken to you as we worship this morning.
Thank you.
conquered this enemy. Lord, we thank you.
Yes, sir.
For now, so God, that you are the God of all things.
Yes, sir.
Lord, you're the healer of our sister.
We love you,
praise your holy name.
We
accept your gospel. Think about what he did for me, and I think, you know what? He deserves that I yield my members to him and to him alone. Am I always that way? I make a lot of mistakes just like you do, but I realize that's how worthy he is, that I belong to him, and I should yield my members to him and him alone and none other, because he is my Lord. God bless you. This is Fellowship Sunday, so we invite each of you to come out and fellowship with us. Even if you didn't remember, it doesn't matter. We're a body of believers, a group of believers. We love one another. We want you to fellowship together. And Brother Bram said, we need fellowship. And I remember one time when he said that, he absolutely blasted it like the best he'd ever blasted anything. And he screamed it out. We need fellowship.
Yeah.
And he was talking about fellowship among believers. And so we do want that. The Satan wants to isolate you. Satan wants you to pull aside. And I know, you know, there's plenty of things that come up that can hinder us from being in church sometimes and all that. So we don't want to allow anything frivolous to come along and keep us from fellowshipping with one another, because we draw strength from each other. That old time yesterday with fellowship with Brother Daniel, just there with some other brothers there in Bartlesville. It was a real time of refreshing for us, and we need that.
Amen.
And it's not that the Christ that's in Brother Daniel or that's in me or that's in you is weak. It's just that God has designed it that way, that He wants us to intermingle the fellowship that we have. Like it says in Ephesians, that it supplies all the things that the joints need, and everything's just compacted together in love. We supply one another's needs in love. Brother Tim supplies the needs you need in worship and in song service and the different things. And so you do supply one another's needs. And so I would ask that you would remember the prayer we just prayed for our sister, that you would support her. And we're going to see a change. We're going to see a change. Right? And so the Lord will just make that happen. And when one rejoices, we all rejoice.
Yeah.
Right. And when one's in pain, we're all in pain.
Right.
And if we don't love our brothers and sisters that way yet, then we're not there yet. Right. But that's what the fivefold ministry's job is to do, is to bring us to that place where we're the full measure of the stature of Christ, to where we do supply those needs to one another like that. And that's our goal. That's our goal, is to get the body of believers that way, to that point in their life. So God bless you. And you can stay and worship as long as you want, but we'll go ahead and dismiss you in the name of the Lord. And just remind you to come and fellowship with us this afternoon.
There is no one else like you.